You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool.
Were you going to tell my Tennesseans that a good many men, sound men all, had a plot to ease the suffering of the people in these parts? Or were you going to tell them that Steve Austin, Houston, and others had planned to declare for a republic, to declare this the Republic of Texas? Republic. I like the sound of the word. It means people can live free, talk free, go or come, buy or sell, be drunk or sober, however they choose. Some words give you a feeling. Republic is one of those words that makes me tighten the throat. Same tightness a man gets when his baby takes his first step, or his first baby shaves and makes his first sound like a man. Some words can give you a feeling that make your heart warm.
That was John Wayne portraying Davy Crockett in
the
movie The Alamo. And we were going to play that last week. Nothing like an abrupt transition. This obviously is a departure from everything we've been covering so far tonight. But these are the kind of people that are our heroes here at TPC. People like Davy Crockett. And these are the people that we will always remember. These are the people we will always fight for, and the people we want to emulate in our own lives. And I tell you, it's hard to beat Davy Crockett. He had a lot of good quotes. I love, you go to hell, I'll go to Texas. He had several, Keith.
His life motto, I leave these words for others when I'm dead. Be always sure you're right, then go ahead.
That's it.
In other words, don't calculate the political cost of what you say. Just say what is true and honest, and you won't have any trouble sleeping at night.
These are the men that they hate, but these were the best men who ever walked the soil of this continent, and these are the men that we try to.
And it also, you know, we were talking about him. You know, he had a big connection with the city of Memphis, just like General Nathan Bedford Forrest did. And it also,
and Andrew Jackson did.
And it brings in the focus into focus the anti-white animus that is driving all of this leftist change in America, and has been since the 60s, since the Civil Rights Movement, since the Brown versus Board of Education decision. For example, if you find Forrest objectionable because he was a slave trader, and if he served briefly as the titular head of the original Ku Klux Klan and resigned shortly thereafter, he fit all of the, checked all the boxes for the left. They wanted to get rid of him. But if they wanted to, if they weren't anti-white, why wouldn't they replace him with Davy Crockett? Davy Crockett was against the Indian Removal Act, and he is portrayed as being this great friend of the enemy, Indians, in those two Disney movies regarding him, the Davy Crockett and the River Pirates and Davy Crockett, King of the Wild Frontier. So why didn't they replace Forrest's statue with a Davy Crockett statue? Well, the answer is obvious. Because he's another honky, another white man. And they don't want to celebrate white men anymore. They want to retell the story of America, where the only founding father worth even mentioning is Alexander Hamilton. And Alexander Hamilton is now a black man,
well,
based on the Broadway play.
You also said that Davy Crockett was friendly with some Indians, and some Indians he had no use for, but that the main opponent that he had was political corruption and cronyism.
Yeah, he said that the Indian Removal Act was just going to benefit a small group of political hangers-on that were as inevitable as flies around a molasses barrel. And that was one of his primary reasons for opposing the Indian Removal Act. But the left is going to lie about you either in your favor or
against you. This is a good point you're
you.
About to make. All right, so yeah, say your point.
Yeah, the left is going to lie about history. They're either going to turn somebody into a hero that he wasn't, like Alexander Hamilton, or, let's say, Davy Crockett from their standpoint, or they're going to vilify him and make him an unjustified villain like they have with Nathan Bedford Forrest or Robert E. Lee.
So basically what Keith was telling me during the break is that the left is going to take any man, any white man in history prior to 1965 and either make them out to be a radical egalitarian or a racist. But
the one constant is they're going to lie about him either way.
That's right. Okay. Davy Crockett, though, a hero, to be sure. I mean, his sacrifice at the Alamo, he was a native Tennessean.
He was a man's man, and it was almost inevitable that he and Andrew Jackson would clash because they were both two alpha males.
But if we had more people like Davy Crockett today?
And Andrew Jackson.
What would we look like?
We would certainly not look like today's America, and there would not be any squad in the U.S. Congress.
Do you think that men like Davy Crockett and Andrew Jackson, Tennesseans, Davy Crockett born here, died in Texas, obviously, at the Alamo. Andrew Jackson born on, I believe, in North
Carolina.
Basically,
he was focused in Tennessee except for, like, the last few weeks of his life.
Right, that, well, of course. And Jackson's known as a Tennessean as well. But I'm just saying, do you think that these men could have ever imagined that white men, their descendants, would be scared to say their own name?
No, not at all.
To take their own side?
Or Thomas Jefferson. Thomas Jefferson has been totally misrepresented. You know, he would have thought just like we do.
It's interesting what they do with Thomas Jefferson. Thomas Jefferson's actually a guy that gets both elements of your treatment that you say white people of the past will get. They're either going to transform him falsely into being
the first Antifa member.
Yeah, the first Antifa member, or they're going to hype him up to be this evil villain. Well, Thomas Jefferson to them is both. He's burning in hell, according to the Charlottesville mayor, but he is at once a radical egalitarian who gave us the Declaration of Independence, which they've changed the meaning of
they've read everything out of it except for all men are created equal.
Right, and so he's either that or he's a rapist of slaves.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's both.
Well,
he's everything.
Well, they can basically reconcile that and make him the first interracial lover, I guess.
Anyway.
But he wasn't that either. And again, that has come out very clearly that Sally Hemings had 6 children. Only one, her last child, had any Jeffersonian phenotype in his bloodline. And that meant that some male Jefferson was probably the father. And the historical record shows that Jefferson's simple-minded brother named Randolph, who used to chill out and hang in the slave quarters, was more than likely the father of Eston Hemings, and not Thomas Jefferson,
well,
who was away most of the time and also 64 years old at the time.
And certainly much more plausible than believing that President Jefferson would have done that.
You know, they just...
Well, I mean, wait, my God, Keith. I mean, now they say that the first Britons were black. I mean, you know, that's with the whole Cheddar Man thing from a year or two ago. They're saying that the first people that lived on the island of what is now the United Kingdom were black. I mean, so they'll tell you anything.
Cheddar cheese, too. Right?
I mean, they'll tell you anything. I mean, the whole thing with these black secretaries coming up with the coordinates and the geometry and the mathematics to land the space shuttles that the white man couldn't figure it out. I mean, they'll say anything and see what sticks.
I mean, look, there's no lie so outrageous that they won't tell it in the service of their politics, okay? That's it. You know, the truth be damned. All they're interested in is winning, and they are winning because they control, through Jewish power and influence, all of the institutions of our society. That's where the change needs to be made.
We'll be right back. We're going to give you a little media roundup. We're going to read some listener correspondence. We still got some stuff to get into tonight. Don't go anywhere.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Kosher. Certified. Put the two words together to get Kosher-tified, which is spelled with an S-E-H instead of just S-H. It's the right way to spell this, the German way, and it made it easier to trademark. Now, did I tell you that the letters S-C-H still make the shh sound, as in all those American food producers saying shh? Let's keep it really quiet that our product is kosher certified. Think about it. Nearly one century of kosher certification, and hardly anyone outside exclusive observers knows that most packaged food and kitchen products are literally certified by religious intermediaries. Well, because you, consumer, are indirectly paying for this. The Kosher-tified app is here to make kosher certification awareness an inclusive matter for people of all faiths and identities. And it even boasts a unique database of products not kosher certified. We call that NKC. Start memeing it. It's fun. NKC. Not kosher certified. Now to confuse our audience even more, we put a question mark at the end of our name, and that really cinched our trademark approval. It relates to the website where you can begin your new shopping behavior, thekosherquestion.com.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
Okay. Welcome back, everybody. I just actually got a text message from Brother Nathaniel, everybody's favorite evangelist, Brother Nathaniel, and he's going to be on the show next week, I do believe. We had talked about having him on tonight. He couldn't make it tonight. He actually called me a few days ago and just to catch up. And I said, you know what? We got to have you back on the show. We had talked about doing it this week, but he couldn't do it tonight because he is in Washington, D.C. right now doing street outreach, street evangelism. If you've ever seen Brother Nathaniel's street evangelism, it is a sight to behold. He goes out there in his monastic garb and his
Eastern Orthodox headwear,
and with the big crucifix, and he actually does what Christians are supposed to do. He talks to people about Christ, and as it were, the enemies of Christ. Well, anyway, Brother Nathaniel is in Washington tonight on the streets doing the Lord's work, and
Brother Nathaniel brings to mind that quote from I think it's the Gospel of Luke about Nathaniel: "Behold, a true Israelite with no guile."
There he is. And at any rate, if all goes according to plan, Brother Nathaniel will be with us next week. Now, he is a true card. As I always say, one of the most colorful guests we've ever had. It's always an event when Brother Nathaniel is on the show.
One of the wittiest guys you'd ever want to be.
He's just a great guy. Yeah. He's a great guy. A big personality, a big character, but very sincere. And I hope he survives Washington, D.C. and is able to appear next week. Now, let's see. It's been a busy few days here for us at TPC. Of course, that we were featured in that CNN package earlier this week. But in addition to the media requests that come in that I choose to accept, we can never stop when people talk about us without our permission. But we've had a few things that I would like to draw your attention to. I meant to mention it last week, but we didn't have time. The July installment of TOQ Live with me and Kevin McDonald is up, and you can find it at our website. You might have to scroll back a few days on the blog, but there at thepoliticalcesspool.org, you can watch my interview with Kevin McDonald and Dr. Andrew Joyce. A very good discussion. I was back on with Bill Johnson and Paul Fromm a few days ago for another wide-ranging discussion of recent headlines, including the Democrats that were brawling at Disneyland, if you know what I'm saying. Bill and Paul are just old friends. Always enjoy my monthly appearance on their live stream. I'm on with Sam Bushman once a month as well. So we're out there again doing the outreach. So check those out. Now, I got this letter in this week, Keith, from a listener in London, another listener from London. I think we read a recent piece of correspondence from a listener in London, but this is a different one. And he writes, "Dear James, this is to acknowledge the delivery of this quarter's incentive gifts, which arrived yesterday." This would have been earlier this week. "I've listened to the recording of the interview with Drew Lackey, and it's very revealing. You and the late Bill Rowland have created an important historical record for posterity. I was a student at the time that these events occurred in the U.S. He's talking about in the 1960s, the civil rights era, so-called civil rights era.
Civil wrongs era.
"It was when I started to become aware of the bias of the British liberal media, especially in its treatment of external events. How easy and comforting it was to be morally self-righteous and sanctimonious about multiracial realities and tensions, which most people in the UK at that time had no firsthand experience of, and even less understanding the hard lessons laid for us in the future. My thanks to you, Keith, and the TPC team for the excellent work you do. You provide each week an invigorating infusion of truth, candor, conviction, and energy, spiced with light relief, but conveyed with respect." Now that, Keith, is one heck of a compliment from our friend in the UK. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you so much. You know, that's what we strive to do. And he's absolutely right about how people seem to be magical experts on race relations that have very little experience with races other than their own. My father, for example, I was born in Minnesota. When he moved up there, he said the people from Minnesota were just salt of the earth on most things. But he said the county in which I was born, Meeker County, Minnesota, had, at the time I was born, not two, but one, only one black person in the entire county. He said, but that didn't stop every native Minnesotan that he encountered just about from being an instinctive expert on race relations that used to lecture him about how badly white Southerners treated blacks. And he said he'd just roll his eyes. He said it was like people that live in the desert presuming to tell people that lived in the jungle tips on jungle survival. He said that, you know, it's amazing how people can be often in error but never in doubt. And that's what this person, our listener in London, is talking about. I was over in London and England in the home counties back in the late 50s. And I do know that, you know, I saw the old England, the England of Rupert Bear books and Little Noddy books and crunchy bars made by Fry's, not by Cadbury's, and stuff like this, and fish and chips wagons and shops and stuff. It was a wonderful, wonderful place. It was unique. It was truly British. And I haven't been over there recently, but I'm appalled at what I hear about London becoming Londistan, for example.
Oh, yeah.
And I would hope that they can fight the good war over there. They're trying. It's the same thing that's happening in America. It's the anti-white coalition trying to reduce white countries into non-white countries and turn whites from being the dominant group to being a oppressed minority. There will be no minority rights in England when white people become the minority there.
That's right.
Just like there will be no minority rights in America when white people in America become the minority.
That's the truth. So it's best if you love your family and want to protect them to do what you can to see that that eventuality and that reality doesn't manifest itself. Not that is born out of a hatred for anyone else. But why would you want your family to live in a society that is going to be hostile to them? I don't want that for my children. So if that qualifies me as a hater, then I guess I love so much
This is what the anti-white coalition has.
Love
in
is
mind.
Hate, and hate is love. Everything's backwards.
And furthermore, we have recessive genes. So they outright genocide is not off the table for them. But right now, they like the tender trap of, you know, interracial mixture because they know we have recessive genes and that the product of an interracial romance is going to be, or coupling, let's don't make it too flowery, is going to look more like the non-white member than the white member.
That still doesn't happen as often as people think. But it happens more than it used to, but what is happening is low white birth rates and us being swamped by third worlders.
And there is something, though, there is something to it, because I now understand that one out of every six white marriages is with a non-white, not necessarily a black person, but either an Asian or some other
that's hard to believe.
Person other than, well, I read that recently, and it really, you know, if that's actually happening, I mean, boy, that
you
is
still don't see. Is. I can tell you. I mean, I don't know. That's hard to believe. I'm sure you read it, but that doesn't necessarily mean. Unless you read it in the Bible, I don't know.
The Bible would be out of date in terms of what is actually happening today. But
I think it might be. But, you know, you don't see that as often in the South, particularly the rural South, perhaps in places like
New York,
California.
Well, I was talking with a guy last night who said that he's having that problem down in the county just south of us. And I suggested he move to a place like Heber Springs, Arkansas.
Well, do what you got to do.
He's got daughters 15 and 17, and, you know, that's an important thing to consider.
All right, we'll be right back. Still 30 minutes to come.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Acting DHS Secretary Kevin McAleon is appearing before a House Oversight Committee to discuss the policy of splitting up illegal alien families at the southern border. Republican Congressman Chip Roy from Texas and Acting DHS Secretary Kevin McAleon on the crisis at our southern border.
We have a crisis of national security, overstretched resources, endangerment of American citizens, endangerment of Texas communities, and endangerment of migrants along the journey at the hands of cartels, is it not?
It's also a border security crisis.
The truth is that dangerous cartels, particularly the Gulf cartels, Reynosa faction, the CDN of Los Zetas, and the Sinaloas, are massively profiting by moving people through Mexico to the United States, correct?
Yes.
Convicted sex offender and financier Jeffrey Epstein has been denied bail. He's awaiting trial on new charges in New York that he had sex with underage girls. Epstein is accused of sex trafficking dozens of girls in his Manhattan and Florida homes in the early 2000s. This is USA Radio News.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand and you care about your credit, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it'll take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 6 million people with credit card debt. Without destroying your credit, they can consolidate your debts into one lower payment, reduce your interest rates, and get you out of debt fast. The program works. Call Consolidated Credit now. Call 800-406-0046. 800-406-0046. That's 800-406-0046. Consolidated Credit Counseling Services, Inc. 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Maryland DM 1492. Oregon DM 80092. Licensed by the Virginia State Corporation. Commission License Number DC 83. Service may adversely affect an individual's credit. Non-payment of debt may lead to additional finance charges or collections activity, including legal action, not a loan company.
The House passes legislation to gradually increase the federal minimum wage to $15 an hour.
This bill honors the dignity of work, grows the economy, and upholds the bedrock idea of fairness in our country, that hard work deserves a decent wage.
Speaking today on Capitol Hill, Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi saying that millions of Americans would get a raise. Now, what we have found, though, and studies have shown that in cities such as Seattle and San Francisco, where minimum wage increases were made, more businesses closed. On Wednesday, a judge in Nantucket, Massachusetts, tossed out charges of sexual assault against actor Kevin Spacey. But according to ABC News legal analyst Dan Abrams, Spacey is not out of the woods yet.
We don't know exactly what's happening in this investigation in England. There had been a place he worked which said, look, here's an anonymous email address. If you have any complaints about him, anything that happened, please let us know. They got a lot of reports from people, and now you have investigation going on in England.
And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Okay, one more thing, and I tried to get this in last week during the first segment as in response to the listener from Great Britain who complimented us on the interview with Drew Lackey. Now, I will tell you, that was not our best interview from an audio quality standpoint. That interview was actually recorded back in 2008 before we moved to the Liberty News Radio Network. And while we thought we sounded good then, we certainly sound much better now. And in addition to that, when we rebroadcasted it a couple of years ago, once we found out that Drew Lackey had passed away, it just so happened to be one of the nights, one of the hours, that we had some technical difficulties in the studio and I had to switch to a cell phone. So all of that is going on in the interview that you'll listen to. It is actually a rebroadcast of the interview with some of my commentary interspersed throughout each segment, but then the complete interview also included in bits and pieces. So anyway, it's all there. You can hear every word. I mean, it's not bad. It just doesn't sound as good as we do on any given normal night. But I'll tell you what it is. It is a firsthand accounting of what was really going on with a man who lived through it. And it is a man, to my knowledge, that in spite of his position on the front line of that era, being a top police officer in the city of Montgomery, which was basically the epicenter of it all, Montgomery, Birmingham, you know, Mississippi, etc., that we were the only people that ever talked to him about what he thought.
So this is a genuine historical artifact. This is a piece of history that would be lost to humanity were it not for the political cesspool and James and Bill Rowland taking the bull by the horns and making sure that this man's story got on tape.
Because the only people Drew Lackey's talking to anymore are the angels in heaven. Probably Bill Rowland. They're probably tuned in tonight. But anyway, I got another letter from I guess anybody who donates knows we normally sound better than that on the air. So anyway, that's what was going on with the audio quality. But overall, it wasn't bad. Letter came in from Brian, and he writes, "Dear Mr. Edwards, as a member of the League of the South, I applaud you for standing up for the South. General Nathan Bedford Forrest was a great man. It's too bad that there are not a lot more Southerners like him today. Enclosed is a small gift to help you in your efforts." And thank you so much for that, Brian. Unlike so many people, we will never abandon our Southern heroes. Now, we talked about this at great length last week, that the governor of Tennessee, and we didn't give him too much credit for it because he was bound by law to do it, Bill Lee, signed this proclamation declaring last week to be Nathan Bedford Forrest Day last Saturday, July 13th. Well, it created a big media storm, and sure enough, by Sunday, he was apologizing, and he was saying, well, the law made me, I didn't want to, I hated to do it. In fact, and if you forgive me, I'll try to get the law changed. Now, this is a guy who was dressed up as a Confederate general walking around college in Confederate general's uniform. He's from
Remember
the rural Kappa South.
Kappa Alpha Fraternity, the old South fraternity par excellence in Southern colleges.
Well, and the point is, he would dress up as a Confederate general while at college, and he's from the rural South, so I know guys like this. Deep down, he knows Forrest is a hero. Deep down, he's, well, not proud enough of his Southern patrimony to actually do something courageous to defend it, but deep down, he knows the truth. But here's this white wimp shuffle again. Now, whether or not he really actually goes in and tries to change the law that calls for the governor to sign these days of public observance, we'll see. But very disappointed to see just another
depends
overweight,
on how much
soft, cucky white.
Well, see, let's now praise famous men, as they said in Ecclesiastes. This is how Donald Trump separates himself from the herd. He doesn't cuck. He comes back. Now, some of the positions he takes, and I think they're legitimate positions, honest positions, like his pro-Zionist stance, they're wrong, but I think he really feels that way. On the other hand, you're not going to see him back down on, for example, he doubles down.
Well, Donald Trump, the Yankee Donald Trump from New York, has actually said more in defense of the Confederate heroes than the governor of Tennessee, Bill Lee. He said Robert E. Lee was a great American. I haven't even heard Bill Lee say that.
Yeah, or Ralph Northam, the governor of Virginia. What a left-wing loon he is. On the other hand, Donald Trump will fight back. That's what the English ambassador that got in trouble recently, Kim Norcross or something like this was his name. I forget his last name. I do remember his first name was Kim. He had to resign. He was making uncomplimentary comments about Trump, or at least intending to, but he actually gave him a supreme compliment. He said, this guy doesn't buckle under pressure and political correctness like so many other people did, like Richard Nixon, like
Bill everybody, Lee. Almost everybody that we can think. I can't think of any public official of any national renown that has done it.
And this is what irritates the left so. They can't get him to walk the plank. You know, he's going to go down kicking and screaming.
Well, it's like I said, he might not do anything for us, but at least he'll say something we like. Bill Lee won't do anything for us either, ultimately. But
he won't take actions against us. Like, well, he will take some actions against us, but he's not doing it because he's trying to curry favor with the left.
What I'm telling you, though, folks, is this. You will never have to worry about the political cesspool and anyone associated with our program ever betraying our Southern heritage and our heroes like Nathan Bedford Forrest. If we are the last people in this country to do it, then we will be the last people to do it, but we will do it. And we are the only mainstream media outlet that is doing it and has done it and will continue to do it. You will never find a Bill Lee or any of these other, they're a dime a dozen, and we could give you hundreds of examples of these cucks that don't have the courage of their convictions. That is not us. That's why we need your support. That's why you support us. That's why we ask you to continue to support us. We will never, ever, ever betray and renounce and backpedal and say we're sorry.
Well, I'm looking at our customized Confederate flag as you say that with our motto, no retreat, no surrender, no apologies. That's our watchwords, and that's the way that we're going to live and die.
We're loyal to our God, Jesus Christ. We're loyal to our brothers. We're loyal to our family. We're loyal to our history, to our heroes.
And
your man Donald Trump, though, Keith, is not very loyal. I mean, he'll roll over on anybody just as quick as he needs to shake out of.
Now, he does do that. That's
Yankee loyalty, as I told Tom Kaczynski. But, of course, I don't even really mean that. I mean, we have so many wonderful supporters in the North that support this show. I'll tell you, there's a lot of people up North that I would rather be in a foxhole with when compared to somebody who was born and raised in the South, like somebody born in Biloxi, Mississippi, by the name of Russell Moore. Would you rather want one of these sturdy Northerners who support this show and know that we're right on the issues and put their money where their mouth is, or a guy that was just born in the South but doesn't even deserve the honor of being called a Southerner? I'll throw my lot in with a Northerner like the people who listen to our show from other ports of call than a guy like some of these we see in the South.
Well, let me say this about Trump, though, too. You know, I think he may have learned that making people walk the plank isn't going to gain him one iota of respect or forbearance from the left. For example, he didn't make Alex Acosta resign over the Jeffrey Epstein scandal or brewing scandal on that. Acosta did it because, like so many people in government, he just can't take the heat, so he removes himself from the kitchen.
Well, Trump will roll over on somebody whenever he feels like it. We never betray a friend. I mean, you know, the whole thing with a certain former elected official in Louisiana. He was in the state house. Maybe you've heard of him. Well, every time they bring up my association with him, I say, you know, don't write that unless you write everything, that he is a close personal friend. It goes beyond. I double down when it comes to standing shoulder to shoulder with my friends. Trump does it, but I'll tell you this. He trotted out this ditz named Hope Hicks. Anytime the Trump campaign needed to denounce me back in 2016, he trotted out this woman named Hope Hicks to issue the denunciation and the disavowal and all of that.
She's a hick that gave no hope.
I'm reading now that it's alleged that she committed perjury, obstruction of justice, and federal election law violations. Now, whether or not that's true, we'll see, but it's making pretty big news right now. This was found.
People that try to throw other people under the bus wind up, it's the...
I like to see bad things happen to dishonest people.
Well, it's the feeding the alligator proverb from Africa. Why would a man or woman feed an alligator or a crocodile? We're in Africa, not in Louisiana. Why would they feed a crocodile? Because they want to be the last person eaten by the crocodile. But because the crocodile associates you with food, you're allowed to be the first one eaten. Hope Hicks threw James under the bus, threw innumerable other real conservatives under the bus in her tenure, and now, what do you know, she's being fed to the alligator.
And they asked for that interview with Donald Trump Jr. They solicited that interview, and then they acted like they didn't know anything. That's fine if you want to pretend and you want to play politics, but to go out and absolutely disavow time and time again throughout your campaign, well, now, I mean, look, if it's true, maybe she's going to pay a price. This was all a result of the unredacted Michael Cohen search warrants alleging her of committing these crimes. So we'll see, Hope, but don't call us. We'll be back.
Hope floats.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads, a divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way. But actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody. Final segment of what has been a very good and riveting and interesting
Scintillating.
Let's go through all the adjectives. Educational, informative, uplifting, encouraging.
Scintillating.
Good looking.
But not obfuscating.
Episode of The Political Cesspool. Just a couple of loose ends to tie up here.
I thought you were going
to
say we're a couple of loose cannons.
Odds and ends. Now, I did see this. This was one story that came out. So we know when Mike Pence went down to the concentration camp, as they call it, where you're what are you supposed to do?
He had to throw a hush puppy to the media and gave them a reason to hope that if he took over the presidency, he would be the anti-Trump by saying this is terrible conditions down here, right?
Well, I don't think he did much of anything. But the big star out of that was this female Border Patrol agent. She was a Latina woman and looked to be in her 20s, very, very fit. And they nicknamed her Ice Bay. And I guess that's supposed to be slang for baby. I don't know. But she's on
Not
one
Ice
side,
Bay.
She's on one side of the fence. And all of the illegals are on the other. And, you know, she came under great criticism this week. Because they're saying that she has sold out her own people. That how dare a Latina,
she's a brown person without a brown voice, to use
that, well, that's it. So
Ms.
she's
Presley's
come under
comment.
She has come under fire this week because she is a Latina who is a Border Patrol agent, and she put out something saying it was an honor to provide security for the vice president. And she came under all this attack from brown people saying, "How could you dare be one of us and be a traitor and be a sellout?" So once again, racial solidarity is at a premium with all of these people. But if we try to apply the exact same standard, we're evil. But they're saying she's evil for being a Latina who is on the side of law and order here as a Border Patrol agent. So, I mean, wrap your heads around that, ladies and gentlemen. If you do what they do, you're a white supremacist. If you are non-white and you do anything else than just be a militant, aggravating, hate-filled voice against whites, then you're just as bad as we are. So make sense of it, Keith.
Well, it's George Orwell. All animals are equal, but some animals are more equal than others. Every other group of people is allowed to have a sense of racial solidarity except white Gentiles. And, you know, we see this all the time. There's no need to comment about it. It's written in the book of life, apparently,
well,
as far as the left is concerned, that white people, of course, have no right of racial solidarity. Who would be so foolish as to suggest that they either have or should have such a right?
Well, and of course we know that. I mean, we've been saying that for 15 years. Everybody knows that. But this situation with this young female, attractive Latina lady is, and supposedly she's a Democrat. But in any event, I mean, I don't know much about her except for what I've read. I just know that she's come under great attack for.
She likes her government job.
For not being a militant, hate-filled voice of anti-white.
She doesn't sentiments. Hate whitey.
I know. So anyway, that's it. That's it. So that's what you get. Now, the only other thing on my docket tonight was just to accentuate the unseriousness of America. Once again, I mean, it seems like every week now, at least every month, if not more often than that, the House of Representatives is passing some resolution condemning racism, and so they did it again. I mean, so going back to where we started this show with Trump's series of tweets against the Squad, the United States House of Representatives, with apparently nothing better to do, put forth a resolution condemning the president's remarks. Now, of all the business the government of this country could take up that would benefit its citizens, to take the time and effort to do this, you know, political grandstanding and posturing to denounce the president, to file this article, to file this resolution, and to get a vote on it. What a joke. I mean, what a joke. Well, no matter where you stand on it, what a joke.
Look, there is method to their madness, though, James. There's this Texas Congressman, Anthony something or other, who is filing articles of impeachment, and I understand that his primary beef with Trump is that he is a bigot and guilty of bigotry, which is another way of saying you're a racist and guilty of racism. Now, I'm sure that the founding fathers would have been absolutely astounded to learn that that is grounds for impeachment. It's not a high crime. It's not even a misdemeanor. to be either a bigot or a racist.
Well, that was another thing actually that happened this week, Keith. Pardon the interruption, but some black congressman down in Texas filed filed articles of impeachment for high crimes, and because it was a high crime,
Highest crime of all to be a bigot or a racist.
Well, that's what it was. Basically, he was saying that was a high crime, and because he filed it as something that dealt with supposed high crimes, it got priority and had to be moved right to the head of the line above any other thing that was pending in legislation. And that's why the government had to scramble to vote on it. Now it failed, but he was just so overzealous and with his obvious lack of impulse control.
The word didn't even exist until the mid 1930s, but now it has leaped to the head of the class and is now grounds for impeachment. In fact, it is the quintessential grounds in 2019's America for impeachment is that you have politically incorrect views on race.
And, it's for a big of, you really can't be too concerned with being called a racist, a Nazi, a white supremacist. I mean, we know that those terms are unfair and untrue, but they're calling the president the exact same thing. I mean, the president of the United States called the exact same thing, and now they're trying to impeach him over. He's never even used the word white ever that I've heard. I mean,
he's totally on board for Zionism and Jewish power and influence. You know, I'm sure that Mother Teresa is a racist in the eyes of somebody.
How much of a racist could a man be who's never said anything he's actually going to do for white people?
Yeah. You know, this is, there is no way to escape it. If you are a white, that's white privilege.
Not that he would be a racist for saying that. He wouldn't. He would be normal and it would be natural.
Well, see, the whole white privilege theme is that because you're white, you're a racist. We will hear no argument on this issue. You know, we are more than entitled to hate on you, honky, not because of anything you've said or done, but by virtue of the fact that you are white. You're a Caucasian. As a result of that, you are to be cast into the dustbin of society. We're going to take away all your power, and once we have you reduced to minority status, that's when all the fun really begins.
All right. And lastly, Keith, we made mention of the fact that we believe that Brother Nathaniel is going to be on with us next week. We'll firm it up throughout the week. And if not, we'll get him on soon if he survives D.C., which is not a guaranteed proposition. But I think one of the things Nathaniel is going to talk about when he does come on is what's going on with Jeffrey Epstein. Now, obviously, that's been huge news in recent weeks, and we haven't even made mention of it on here because we're so busy with our own affairs. But it is something that should be covered, and we're going to cover it with Brother Nathaniel. We only have 2 minutes to give him a little teaser on this. I think everybody knows what's going on with Epstein, so we won't break that down. But do you think he'll swing for it?
I imagine when all is said and done, more will be said than done, just like with Kevin Spacey. This is kind of like the last gasp of the Me Too movement. But I guarantee you, the only way anything will come of it is if they can get Trump with it. That's why they're doing it. Believe me, the 800-pound gorilla on the living room sofa is Bill Clinton. No one had more to do with Jeffrey Epstein than Bill Clinton did. But Bill Clinton is an untouchable. He is somebody, he is a paragon whose memory must be preserved. He is the spouse, at least sort of, I guess, of Hillary Clinton. So the left-wing media is going to avoid the big story involved there and try to, make hay out of a couple of random meetings between Epstein and Donald Trump back in the days when Trump was a carefree bachelor or something, you know. And this is more the same. This is obviously and transparently just an effort to get Trump. Epstein will probably be offered complete immunity if he'll spill the beans somehow on Trump, just like Michael Cohen was given the same offer. There's just, they keep trying to assassinate Trump metaphorically with all of these so-called associations and whatnot, but their gun is filled with blanks. They just cannot find anything on the man, the Russia hoax, anything. Basically, they're doing their best to get Trump out of office, but Trump is like the Energizer Bunny. He just keeps on coming back.
You said the one thing that they would assassinate him over if he were an anti-Semite, but they certainly can't call him that. But, of course, even to be an anti-Semite now is defined as anyone who objectively criticizes Israel or speaks the truth about certain things That is not hatred, folks.
Of course, we're using the term assassinate metaphorically. The thing is, they're trying to take Trump out just like they did Richard Nixon. They want him gone. And as the English ambassador said, he just won't go. The normal tactics don't work on Donald Trump. And the only reason Epstein is coming up is because in their desperation, they think that somehow by associating him with Epstein, they can get him. Lots of luck, folks. I don't think it's going
to
work.
It's not hate to tell the truth in love. We love you, folks, and we'll see you next week. Please support us. I'm James Edwards with Keith Alexander. Very busy show tonight. See you next Saturday.